This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
We are now into the beginning of day three, and actually, I say the beginning, it's kind of already happened a little bit here this morning. I was involved with the stage contest, and then we had a short lecture by Alex Boyce, and then we also had a talk about Tan's Magic Cap, and we're going to get into some of that, and also maybe talking a little bit about last night's show. But one of the people who, as I mentioned right there, was the lecturer, who is Alex Boyce, and I've got him with me now.
Hey, hi, Alex. Scotty. How's it going?
Fantastic. And his father, Alex Boyce, also.
Nice to meet you also.
Now, to differentiate, you're Alex and you're Alexander, right?
That's right. Correct. Exactly.
Yes. To eliminate the junior problem.
That's exactly right. We skedaddled. Thank you. We skedaddled the junior problem. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. Big fans here at Abbott's.
Yes, they are.
So, it was a lot of fun. The big thing for me this year was I thought if we're going to come to Abbott's, I want to bring Dad. Mm-hmm. And it's been an adventure.
You've been here before. Of course,
yes.
You and I have been out the Amish thing, and we took the buggy ride. You didn't get to do that, though.
No, I didn't get to see that.
I know. Mia Michael said they haven't done Amish dinner in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. But that was such an adventure. Oh, my gosh. We did the magic. They gave us buggy rides. We did a magic show for them.
It's like then we had dinner and ice cream.
It was incredible.
Right.
It was amazing.
Yeah, that was the year I think Jeff Hobson was here, wasn't he?
Oh, my gosh. That was the year that was 2021, so there wasn't really any other magic conventions.
That's true.
And so people came from all over to be here. It was a big group of people. Yeah, it was a great year.
Well, as I recall, it's kind of like a slingshot, pulled back with so much tension. And it's kind of like everybody wanted to get let loose, and boom, that was a big one.
Yes, it was huge. Yeah, we had big lake parties every night.
Yeah.
We threw someone into the lake one night. We were all wearing togas.
So you're telling that in front of your dad.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
It's all okay.
That was fun.
That was a lot of fun. So this being your first
of
Abbott's, but you've been to other magic conventions, with him. So what are some things that you've done before or enjoyed?
It's crazy. Like you're going back into time and stuff.
Yeah.
And it must have been really neat how it was, 50 years ago or so. But it's totally amazing. I'm still in shock.
Well, again, by comparison, you've been to other conventions, with him, and so this is, as you say, a whole lot different, I guess.
It's a whole lot different. I mean, it feels kind of nice because this is a lot more, interaction with each other and stuff. Where it's a different beast, that's for sure.
Yeah, I think I say it's a cohesive family kind of, and everybody likes each other, unlike
very
some families who don't want to be together on Thanksgiving,
sure.
Here everybody wants to get together,
Yeah, it's the get together. Yeah, but you said last night's show, I don't know if you've covered it too much, but last night's show, it was amazing. They had Mike Caveney MC, he came out, did coffee juggling, which is just one of the great acts. It's incredible. Every time it gets my heart pounding when he does the double throw.
You know what somebody told me, don't want to interrupt your flow, somebody told me that he practices that every day. He's got that, when he comes through the door, he just kind of picks it up, gives it a toss, and just kind of, it's a quick way of practicing every day.
It makes sense. I wouldn't be surprised because he just, it seemed the
nailed
skill
it.
To
yeah.
catch it and throw it in the air, and you see the coffee, it's amazing. So he did that, and then he did the Burnt Bill and Cigar, which you can read in his
Magic Comedy?
It's originally Magic Comedy, and then he updated it over time.
Yeah.
So now it's in Wonders, the big two-volume set.
And it's a different version than the original one.
That's right, yes.
I used to do the original one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's amazing, yeah.
I did it at a wedding one time for
awesome.
Bride and groom. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was great. And then we had Matt King came out, and he did the aerial fishing, and it was incredible. And they just love him everywhere he goes, and especially here at Abbott's. And he had a great kid as a spectator. And then, of course, Williamson came out.
What about his bill that he borrowed?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the bill. I forgot about that. Yeah, the running gag of the bill. Every performer borrowed the same bill from Jimmy.
The same guy.
Jim. Famous Jim last night. Yeah, that $20 bill went and it through a lot of trials. It got blended up in a blender. It was burnt on multiple occasions. It was found in many different places.
Dog food, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that was great. And then Williamson came up and did Rocky. And to me, that's just the most... It's stunning and hilarious, but it's also just so beautiful to see the way he is with the kids wrangling around
the
stage.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah, and then he had great kids last night, 4 years old. They were incredible. And then Piff to Magic Dragon to close out the show. It was amazing, right here in Colon, in the gymnasium stage. Just can't imagine it. So it was a great show last night. Really fun.
That was outstanding. Now, you've seen a lot of shows then as well, so what were your opinion? As a non-magician then, too.
I was totally amazed. I think I love the way Williamson would... control of the kids and stuff, and it's just it's just something to really see.
All of those people have slept at Dad's house,
yes,
though.
They have. So Williamson and Caveney's been there with Tina.
Yeah.
Been an interesting thing to have those people in your house and spend time with them.
Yeah.
That was really cool was when Mike and Tina were there, and it was snowing. It was like the first time they've really seen snow. They're outside and jumping around looking at this. So they have different experiences in upstate New York than they do in their Southern California house.
Right. Now, speaking of upstate, so how far do you live from the city?
I've been living in Brooklyn now for many years, and I've been living in New York City for 10 years now. I can't believe it. So where I grew up in Binghamton, though, it's up near Ithaca, Syracuse. It's about 3.5 hours, 4 hours out of the city. So we'd be close enough to see. We saw Monday Night Magic a lot growing up, and any big show that came through New York we would see. We saw Play Dead. That was one of the big...
You did get to see Play Dead. I'd love... Yes. Did you see Play Dead also?
I saw Play Dead with
my family. What were your thoughts on that?
It was very, very cool. I liked some of the illusions, especially... You know, the stuff kind of dumping out on stage and some reveals that were really revealing for my son.
I know what you mean. Yeah.
It was amazing. We had no idea what to expect. And to this day, it's one of the best shows I've ever seen. Magic show, not magic show. That one always comes to mind. It was scary when it was supposed to be scary. It was funny when it was supposed to be funny. It was charming when it was supposed to be funny or charming. And, it was just the magic was so high level. To this day, I still can't believe he brought a layperson up at one point. He laid on a table. He did psychic surgery, very thin table, right down to the front of the stage, and then a woman crawled out of a layperson's stomach. I just can't. It was amazing. It was magic and terrifying.
I had a podcast episode with Todd Robbins many years ago, which I recommend for people to go back and listen to, because it was amazing, because he was talking about Play Dead and about when he was talking with Lance Burton about that, and Lance said, wait a minute. You kill a guy, and he's from the audience, and he come and you tell him you're going to kill a guy, and you do. You kill a guy.
Yeah, he would just bring up a guy on stage and kill him. It was amazing. Never saw murder like that.
Yeah. Well, I was surprised, really, that didn't go on tour. I understand and what happened.
Right.
But
We'll see. Maybe, you know, there's always rumors that there might be a feature with Play Dead, and I think it's well-deserved. I'd love to see it again in whatever capacity it would be.
And speaking of Todd Robbins, of course, he's the one who opened Speakeasy where you are right now.
Yeah, it's great to get to work with Todd many, 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 many shows a week even. So it's great to see Todd up in his element on stage doing his thing.
Well, I'm glad you're having a good time at the convention here, and you gave a little lecture this morning, and then you're going to be performing tonight.
Yes, yeah. This morning we did a Tana's Magic Camp lecture. So the idea was it was a day of Magic Camp in one lecture session. Huh. So we did class, we did workshop, we did the lecture, which happens at camp, all in one short time. So I came up and I taught my handling of coin and bottle, which I have a booklet of, but also is written up in Genie by Jamie Ann Swiss and Magicana this year. And then Ian Rich and Matt Schick did a talk on business. Terry Cook talked about the history of Magic Camp. And so it was a sort of a condensed day of Magic Camp all in one. And one of the best parts of Magic Camp is they get candy. And the lecture attendees got candy even. So it was a full lecture.
Yeah, passed around a little candy for everybody then, too. Well, listen, thank you guys very much. I'm glad you're having a good time there.
Thanks, Scott.
And welcome, Alex, for your first convention there.
I appreciate it.
So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Alex and Alex.
Hey.
Scotty out. Well, we just talked with Alex Boyce, and again, he was explaining the format for the unique lecture we had, actually talking about the Magic Camp and Tana's Magic Camp, and about how it was interesting, laid out, that it was like an abbreviated day, basically. I've got with me then right now Matt Schick, who is also one of the presenters. Hey there, Matt.
Hey, how you doing, Scott? Nice
Matt,
to see you.
We've been friends for a long time. It's like... back to the 4F, I guess.
Yeah,
when
long
you were,
time.
You were still in your teens, I think.
Yes.
So you've been traveling around. I know a lot. Last time I saw you, you were traveling with Michael Carbonaro. You still doing that tour? Or?
Yes. So I traveled with Michael. I was a producer on his television show and also his live tour, and we kind of alternated back and forth. We would do TV, live tour, TV, live tour for about 8 years. And then I finally hung up the touring hat. It was a long time to be away from my wife and my house. So about last August, I hung up that touring hat. But Michael and I are still really dear friends. We talk every day.
Yeah.
And Michael's a contact who I met at Tana's Magic Camp. I was a camper, and he came back as a CIT. I was a CIT. He came back as an instructor, and I remember sitting in the audience and watching him talk about his experience on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, which was the precursor for the Carbonara effect. And I remember sitting watching this thinking, I need to do this. This seems like the most amazing gig in the world, to just be hiding in the woodworks of this grocery store and just bringing these real
Handing
moments of magic.
Behind the table.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Michael and I just stayed in touch after that, and one thing led to another. I was actually sitting in my cap and gown at my college graduation. I got a text from him, said, hey, my show got picked up, do you want to come work on the show? And the rest is history. So another Magic Camp connection.
Wow. Now you say CIT, people are wondering, it's a counselor in training?
That's
it?
Right. So I was a camper for many years, and then I just kept begging because I really wanted to continue to get back to the camp and come back as a staff member. So Terry Cook, who's our camp director, and Adam Blumenthal, who's a camp owner, were kind enough to give me a little leeway, let me be a CIT for a few years, and then now I've been a staff member ever since.
Yeah, and I think that's great. And how many campers do they have actually annually, then? I mean,
it does fluctuate a bit. A few years ago, we had a documentary done on the camp, which gave it tons of publicity.
Oh, yeah.
At the time, I think we were on 150 campers for a few years. Mm-hmm. COVID was a unique challenge. We had big numbers up until COVID. During COVID, we obviously could not hold our camp in person.
Sure.
You
had online camps, I recall.
We did, and I'm pretty proud of that, actually. So it was crazy.
The world who came into
we
that.
Did. We did. Yeah. So we decided, we're going to just take the paywall off. We're going to offer camp for free to anyone around the world who can attend. And we had 1,100 kids, again, from all around the globe who tuned
amazing.
In.
Amazing.
Yeah, 1,100 kids. And all over. I mean, we were able to just expand far beyond our normal demographic. I mean, we have had some international campers, but this really allowed it to take that to the next level and just reach people from all walks,
Doing that, I'm sure people wanted to come physically.
Absolutely,
as well.
Yeah, we did that 2 years, and we tried to keep the same format. We had classes on Zoom, and we had lectures and then shows that were live-streamed every night. We did them from Tannen's Magic Shop with multi-cam shoot. We set up like a TV studio in there and really tried to just push the limit. I mean, none of us were doing anything else, so we were able to get everyone. I mean, the who's who of magic showed up to support the kids, and everyone from David Blaine to Penn and Teller to Piff the Magic Dragon, John Dorenbos. I mean, the list goes on and on. I don't think we received anyone who said no. David Copperfield came in. It was just truly remarkable.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, when you have the camp, again, the camp is not a camp because you're actually in a college at a campus.
That's right.
When it's the off-season in the summer or during summer school.
Yeah, it's at Bryn Mawr College. It's a beautiful, beautiful campus right outside of Philadelphia. It's about 25 minutes away from the Philadelphia airport. Yeah. I mean, it really looks like Hogwarts. The architecture is just so unique, and there's literal castles surrounding
the turrets
us.
Turrets and everything.
Seriously. And it's just a grassy green, beautiful campus. Unlike most camps, of course, it's just magic 24/7. So, I mean, there's no swimming, there's no hiking, there's no frisbee. The kids are allergic to daylight practically.
You're scaling cars, you're not throwing frisbees.
Literally, yeah. The occasional juggler. But it's just great to enjoy that amazing campus. It's really beautiful.
And that's between the ages of
11 and 20.
20, yeah. Correct. Okay. And after 20, then you have to consider being a CIT, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, there's been quite a few. I mean, so many of the staff come back year after year. They were originally campers and they got bit by the bug.
I got to go someplace. I got to go back to Camp Tannen's.
And, some of them are full-time professional magicians. Alex, who I believe you just spoke with, is one of the busiest working pros out in New York and travels internationally for magic. Mm-hmm. I started out as a performer. I did magic for a while. I studied marketing. Then I went on to produce Michael's show, and magic for me is taking a back seat physically. I don't personally perform anymore, but my favorite thing to do is to use the production skills that I have to try to make other magicians look great. So actually, I work with Alex and produce the Compi Magic show that he holds in Brooklyn every month or so. I've worked on many TV show and live tour.
Tell me about that. What is that show?
Compi Magic. It's wonderful. He has the show. He books all the talent for. It's once a month in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, at a restaurant called Rule of Thirds. Mm-hmm. It's a Japanese restaurant, and he just books the best of the best talent from all across the country. They fly in to do the show once a month, and it's such a treat for the Brooklynites who get to experience. I mean, people like Jason Bishop and the Evisons and John Carney, and I mean, just he is Alex is one of the most well-connected people I know, and is able to get this amazing roster of talent to come to Brooklyn and do this little show for us.
So if people want to find out more information about Tannen's Magic Camp or want to sign up for it, and I assume it's only just 1 week out of the year. It's not like week after week and have different kids. It's just one time.
It's 1 week out of the year. You know, we try to plan it around conventions and other happenings. So next year in particular is tricky because there's FISM. We know a lot of our staff and a lot of campers also are probably going to be heading off to that. So the dates are still not confirmed. They'll be confirmed in the next week or so. It'll likely be either very end of June or very beginning of July. But definitely go to Tannen's Magic's website or tannensmagiccamp.com to learn more about the programming. And I cannot I cannot speak more highly of the program and just the people who continue to come back year after year and give all of themselves to camp. And this,
and the results obviously speak for themselves. I mean, by looking at the professionals who have come out of that and continue to go back to it, and the people who contribute to it, it is continue to grow by leaps and bounds in international acclaim.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. I mean, we keep learning of people who are campers that we didn't even know of. Jason Alexander, yeah. You know, Flamethrower Finn was a camper. Adrian Brody, Oscar winner, was a camper.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Either people have come through as campers and turned into these world renowned, respected artists, or mm-hmm. or people who were not campers themselves, like David Copperfield, who have been big supporters of the camp and have come back year after year to help out.
I think it's reasonably priced also. I think she was saying this morning it was like $18.75 or something like that, but which is inclusive, all inclusive of your food and drink and your lodging.
Meals a day includes your lodging. You know, if you're out of town, there's a package for your towels and your pillow and your sheets and all that, so that's taken care of. They're very well fed for sure. I mean, we got three big meals in the
cafeteria.
Plus,
obviously, the talent you're saying coming in who are guest lecturers plus the regular lecturers and everybody. And I mean, they get access to something that is unparalleled. They wouldn't be able to get anywhere else.
So much so that it's, we often share our love for the camp and it's something like Abbott's, and people in the audience, the first question, and we got it today, is how do we attend this? And people just... it's almost unfortunate because we have this amazing community that is only able to be enjoyed by such a small percentage of the magic world.
Yeah.
So we would love to say yes to everyone who can come back as an instructor, as a CIT, and it's just difficult.
They say it's at Bryn Mawr, so people will fly into Philadelphia, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, flying to Philadelphia. We have shuttles that take the kids to camp on Saturday and take them back to the airport on Saturday the following week.
Going back here to Abbott's, then speaking where we are currently, you've been coming here for a number of years then as well. This has been instrumental probably in your growth as a magician.
I've been fortunate enough. I started a little late here. You know, we mentioned in the lecture that many people have come up to us over the past couple of days and they've said, Abbott's, Colon was our magic camp because obviously it's a different region of the country. I grew up in New Jersey, so right when the camp moved to Bryn Mawr, it was about a 50-minute drive. My parents, it was super easy. I mean, I was super close. But if I had this amazing community closer to where I grew up, I would have been thrilled to enjoy Abbott's. I've been here three times. This is my third time. It started coming in 2014. And, I mean, it's unlike anywhere else in the world. If you're listening, if you haven't been to the Abbott's Magic Get-Together, you absolutely have to come. There's just nothing like it.
What is one of your memories that comes to mind, whether it's an event that happened or some people you met or a show that you saw?
So many. I mean, just the geography alone is just so special. Going to these parties on the beautiful lakes and meeting so many kind people with a love of magic, I think really stands out for me. I remember specifically a show I saw back in 2014. There was a cruise ship show with a variety of acts. I know Fred and Bobby Becker were on the show. John Chirac. Chip Romero was on the show.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm trying to think who else. They were just a great roster, and they ended with their famous fountain routine. And that's all I'll say. If you haven't seen it, request it next time you see any of these guys to do the fountains for you. Bring a poncho.
Well, it's good to see you. It's been a while, and I'm glad that the camp is in good hands, and it sounds like that it's got a good future and everything, and it's exciting. Even after COVID, it's really sprung back.
The camp's in great hands. I mean, between Adam Blumenthal, who owns Tannen's Magic, Adam, if you don't know, is an unbelievable production designer, lighting designer. He makes camp look absolutely beautiful. I mean, I work in production. I sit in the back of the AV booth every night. We bend over backwards to create this experience at the end of the night with the most incredible show, with state-of-the-art lighting and scenic that changes year after year, and these performers that come in from all around the globe to support. He makes it look so fantastic. And then Terry, of course, who's our fearless leader from the camp director perspective. She's so beloved by campers.
Magic
and
Mama.
Families. Magic Mama. Mama Magic. Mama Magic. Yeah. Get it right.
Mama Magic. Sorry about that.
You got to say sorry to her. It's just wonderful. Camp's in great hands, and I'm just so honored to be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, I'm honored to have a chance to chat with you. And so thank you very much, Matt.
Always my pleasure. Thanks. Pleasure. Always great to see you. Thanks so much.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Matt Schick. Scotty out. A lot of people come to the convention who are here at Abbott's who are not necessarily performers, but are well-known, quote, celebrities in magic. And I've got one with me right now who's a longtime friend of not only Abbott's, but of magicians in general, and a creator and performer and all-around good guy. And I can go on, but I'm going to let him talk about himself. Here he is, Robert Bax. Hey, Robert.
Hey, thanks for having me on the podcast. I'm very grateful to you.
We did one years ago, and you'd said you got a lot of comments and feedback on that.
People liked what I had to say, and people are listening to your podcast. So it's a win-win for both of us.
That's right. So it is.
And again, I've performed here at Abbott's many, many times, but the reason that I was here this year is for a very special reason. An old magician friend of mine died 7 years ago. His name was Charles Windley. He was a well-known curmudgeon of magic. He had started doing magic back in the late 1950s when he was a kid, and it's a great story. In 1959, he sends a letter while he's living in Norfolk, Virginia, to the 10-in-1 Hubert's Dime Museum in Times Square, New York City, asking for a job as a magician. He sends them photos. He's 16, but he looks older in the photos, so they send him back a note going, "Okay, kid, come for 2 weeks, and we'll put you on the show." A 10-in-1 show meant that there was a three-legged man, there was a wolf boy, there was a tattooed lady, there was a flea circus. Each of them only did about 3 or 4 minutes where they showed off their abnormality. That meant the magician in the 10-in-1 show did the most time. When he gets there, they go, "Kid, what are you doing here? Who are you?" He goes, "I'm the magician you hired." You go, "You're too young. You can't work here." He goes, "I got a contract." He wound up working there for 8 years, wow, doing 10 shows a day. After that, he toured shopping malls when shopping malls became a big thing in the 1970s and 80s. And then in the late 80s, he settled down and opened up a magic shop in Norfolk, Virginia. It was a very successful magic shop. He had 2 branches at one point. When he passed away in 2017, though, he sadly had no family. Magic was his life, and he had no one to look after his last wishes. So he asked me, Robert Bax, to knowing I was responsible, to make sure he was taken care of. He asked to be buried here in Colon, Michigan. 6 years ago, I came here, I performed on the show, and I did the broken wand ceremony. And perhaps the best trick I ever did was getting Charles Windley on stage one last time at the Abbott's Magic Get-Together, because he had performed here in the 60s and 70s, and the last thing I did when I performed on stage here at the Abbott's Get-Together, when I was the MC for the show, was present a poster of Charles Windley's to a young kid on stage to pass along the mantle of magic. Somehow, with all the genius superstar magicians who were on the show that weekend, that photo of me passing on the poster of Charles Windley wound up on the front page of the newspapers in the area. So, while I buried him here 6 years ago, I also promised I would look after his grave, and I hadn't been here in 6 years. COVID kind of got in the way, so I'm here this week to make sure his grave was well taken care of, and you were here with me when we went to the cemetery tour yesterday. I presented a copy. The best part is, for people who can't get here to see it, please go online. You will see we had one of his old posters made into the tombstone. Many people say it is the best tombstone in the graveyard, and there are some very fancy, nice tombstones here, but this one may be the best because it's not only his old poster that says at the top, "Live in person," and has a picture of him on it, yeah, but also at the bottom I added the words, "P.S., you picked the three of clubs so that for all eternity he would be doing magic." I think any old magician would love that.
Well, that's true. And, in fact, you were the one who inspired me or told me about getting a hold of LaGrange Monument Company, which is the one who constructed my monument, which yes, is over there then as well. So just awaiting my arrival 100 years from now.
I'm hoping 110, because they do this company, LaGrange Monument Works, does excellent work, and I highly recommend them for anyone in the area who wants a tombstone. They can do photos. Well,
photos were the great. Right, I mean, they did that were Windley, and, right, and so I saw how great that was, and you sent me that video or picture, yep, and so I thought, I'm going to contact them. They did a wonderful job with Kathy and me.
Excellent. And again, just so you know, originally I was going to have the tombstone done in Los Angeles, where I live, so I could be sure to look after it and make sure it was done right, all the details were correct. Turns out tombstones are made of real granite, and they're horribly heavy, and they explained to me that it can't be flown, it's too heavy, it would have to be shipped by truck all the way. But the problem with that is if it hits one bump, mm-hmm, it'll crack.
Right.
So I had it done locally. It's only about 30 minutes away, the LaGrange Monument Works, and they did magnificent work, laser engraving.
See, I thought about the same thing as well, having it done in Texas, but then right. you had convinced me about all the, right. It could crack and whatever. It's
for the money you're paying for one of those tombstones, you wanted it to come uncracked.
Yeah.
So, yes, that's the best part.
Well, so the thing that is unsaid here is how do you relate to Winley?
I was traveling doing comedy clubs, the comedy club circuit, in the early 90s. Think of it. It's the early 90s. We don't all have phones in our pockets. We don't all have the internet. There isn't even HBO or anything like that. The only thing to do during the day when I'm not working at the comedy club is sit around my hotel room, watch TV, which is only three channels in those days.
Yeah.
Okay?
And you had to get up and change it, too.
Yeah, physically, yeah. Okay. So what do? I pick up the phone book. I'm in Norfolk, Virginia. I go, hey, look, there's a magic shop in town. Let's go. Me and the other comedians go to the magic shop. The comedians are looking at the fake vomit and the rubber chickens and stuff. I'm going to the guy behind the counter, who turns out to be Charles Windley. Oh, magic. I love magic. I grew up in New York. Windley goes, you grew up in New York? Do you know Al Flasso? I go, Flasso? I grew up in Al Flasso's magic shop. I the last year that Al Flasso was alive, I was a kid. Al Flasso sold me stuff, and then I worked for Jackie Flasso, his son. Charles Windley, when he was working in New York at the 10-in-1 show at Hubert's Dime Museum, spent every day at Flasso's magic shop. Mm. Flasso was instrumental to Charles Windley's career, and now Charles is my new best friend. And that's how I knew Charles, and I kept in touch with him over the years, and that's how he knew I was a responsible guy to make sure his last wishes were taken care of.
That's great. Yeah, you're such a good friend for doing that, you know, right to the end, end.
I had to do it because I was afraid if I didn't do it, his ghost would come back and haunt me. No, I'm serious.
Yeah.
You don't want an old magician ghost haunting you. Yeah. So
talk about the tricks that they could play on you.
Yeah.
Very true. Uh-huh. Well, Robert, always good seeing you, my friend, and I'm glad that you came out here this year.
I'm grateful to you, and I look forward to seeing you at another magic adventure.
You as well. Which, by the way, the last time that we talked, we were on the phone. Actually, Trixie and I were out in L.A.
In
May, and we were looking for the Munchkins homes. There were the little people, I guess, that were in the Wizard of Oz, and we finally found the area, but I think the houses have since been torn down. They've built a building there.
Yes, sadly, Los Angeles real estate is extremely expensive, but there are a number of interesting places in Los Angeles. In this case, many of the Munchkins who worked in the original 1939 production of The Wizard of Oz wound up staying in California, and there are a bunch of miniature homes. They're almost like hobbit-size homes.
They were near the Warner Brothers studio. The studio.
Right, in Burbank.
Yeah.
Right, in Burbank, California. So there was an entire row of them. And even though little people didn't live in them anymore, they were still valuable real estate, and full-size people lived in them. But just in the past 5-6 years, housing prices have become so difficult. I know I own 2 homes in Los Angeles. I am a successful magician. But yes, those little miniature homes have been torn down. Sadly, they're no longer there.
Yeah, well, that kind of brings that full circle. I wanted you to let you know. I hadn't followed up with that story because we were in the car and you were trying to direct us and through the GPS. Anyhow, long story short, they're no longer there. But, Robert, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for being such a good friend.
Again, I look forward to next time.
Magic Word Podcast. That was Robert Bax, Scotty out. Be sure and check out his episode from the archives.
And see my website, www.robertbaxt.com/shop. There's a bunch of cool stuff for magicians. Penn and Teller do my newspaper tear because it's better and easier to set up than any other.
Going into the dealer's room, it's always full at every convention, but right now it's kind of lunch break, and it's not a lunch break, but it's just before, or there's things happening downtown, I guess I should say, with the close-up street performers and stuff like that that's happened. John Cirque was just performing, and some other stuff happening. Soon they're going to be coming back here to the gymnasium, to the Colon High School, home of the Colon Magi, and they are going to be doing a close-up show then soon. So they've got the television screen set up on the stage, and they've got the close-up table on the aisle, so everybody's going to be able to see, regardless of where you're going to be seated. But I thought it'd be interesting to talk with the people behind the dealer's booth, particularly at the Abbott's booth, since this is the Abbott's get-together, to chat with some of the proprietors who are holding down the fort, so to speak, because Greg Borden's not here right now. So we're going to get a chance to talk First with Kurt Ritchie and then with John Chango. Hey, John.
How you doing, Chango? Coming at you live.
And then Kurt. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, welcome to the Abbott's get-together.
So how's it? I know it's been pretty busy right now. We just got a slow lull. Well, I think it's kind of between things. What's been a big seller here?
The New Illusion book by David Seebach that Abbott's published.
And he's going to be autographing that, right?
Absolutely. Come on in and get your copy soon.
So tell me something about the book.
Tell me about the book, Kurt.
Well, it's a compilation of all of David's articles that he wrote for the New Tops magazine over the years. Plus, David has submitted lots and lots of color photographs of his illusion show that he's toured, well, basically around the world. But he's been very popular in the Midwest over the years. And this book chronicles basically his life with building and showing and talking about illusions. And it's just a fantastic volume of great information.
And it's being released here.
Yes, it is. It's just recently published. There are three versions of it. There's two paperback versions, and they're very thick. They're probably about an inch and a half thick paperback versions. One is black and white only. That's the most affordable one. Then there's a paperback with color pictures, and then there's a hardcover version, which is very unique to Abbott's because we're having those published through Amazon, which a lot of people do these days. Most of the
is
most
that on
recent.
Demand then?
Yes, it is on demand, which makes it very convenient, very quick. But Amazon started out doing that with paperback versions of books, and they've recently started doing the hardcovers, and this is brand new for Abbott's to have a book in hardcover like this, and it's been a fantastic seller. Retails for $100. We're having a special on it during the get-together and in the show, and you can find that on our website, abbottmagic.com. But David will be here tomorrow on Saturday at 4 o'clock signing the book, and you can get any of the varieties of the versions of the books and have him sign it right here in person.
Great. You say tomorrow and Saturday. Today's today Friday?
Yeah, it is already.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, we're halfway through.
Closing in.
Moving right along,
yes,
I guess, you know, now
sure
that I think
is.
About that. So.
Well, there have been fantastic shows so far, and I'm sure tonight and tomorrow will be great, too. But, yeah, it does move along pretty quickly once we get going.
Have you had anything that's been particularly exciting that has happened at this convention that's particularly memorable?
Well, gosh, I mean, last night's show, we had Piff the Magic Dragon here, and he's a staple in Las Vegas these days, and that was kind of exciting for the people here in our little village, you know.
Yeah.
It got a lot of attention.
Don't get too many dragons in
That's Don't
right.
get many dragons in Cole.
And especially
a lot
not
of dogs
a
and
Piff.
Cats.
But it was great to see Piff and Mr. Piffles, isn't it, John?
Mr. Piffles, yeah.
Speaking of which, he just pulled up to your counter right there.
Oh, really?
Right behind you, yeah.
So,
oh, my gosh. There you go.
So I'm probably blocking some sales.
Yeah, really.
There, so as the guys, a few people have started to come in. But,
okay.
Well, good. I'm glad things are working out well.
Oh, it's
and,
great.
We've got
yeah.
about how many dealers? About 10 dealers here?
Probably just shy of that. But, yeah, we always have great attention here at the get-together. Yep. We love people to come to our little village, the magic capital of the world.
It really is. Thanks a lot.
Oh, sure.
John, Rich,
thank you,
I'll let
Scott.
You get over here then to Kurt.
Take care.
Okay, Scotty out.
Scott!
So we talked a little bit last night with Dave Williamson about the show, but I got some of the guys on the show, plus the fellow who was sitting in the audience, Joel Hodgson.
Yeah, hey, everybody.
Last year.
Hello.
Matt King.
Yes, that's me, isn't it?
That's right. So I want people to recognize your voice.
All right. Okay. I'm
one
Matt
of those
King.
Things, a mic check kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So
oh, I see.
That's called
it
a mic check. Yeah. And so then Dave Williamson.
Howdy.
And
I'm David Williamson.
Hey, Speak. Man.
I just pooped in a bag, man.
Oh, yeah. Present.
Roll call.
That's right. You guys were great last night. I've been talking about the show. It was a lot of fun. The left-handed league. Somebody said the left-handed league was going to be coming back on us. I don't think so.
Left-handed
but
league
it was,
is
I think it's no more
yeah,
like what you
yeah,
did at Blackpool.
Yeah.
It's
Where's
more like
Kirk Pipkin and Harry Anderson?
Yeah, and Jay Johnson.
And Jay
Tino.
Johnson.
That's right. Yeah.
Mark
more,
Lewis. And Max Maven was in it, too, somehow.
No.
He was on some shows I saw.
Not
Guessed.
Anyone I ever saw.
Oh, he wasn't? Okay.
So who was actually the left-handed league?
Harry
officially.
Harry Anderson, Martin Lewis, Kirk Pipkin, Jay Johnson, me, Tina Leonard.
Is Tina left-handed?
Yes.
Does she play harp left-handed?
Yes.
Don't confuse him.
He's on a roll.
That's it.
He's remembering.
Wait.
What about Leslie? Was she part of that?
Well, so the
was Leslie left-handed?
You didn't have to be left-handed, to be honest with you. But we all were.
Who named it then?
So here's what happened. Martin Lewis is the one that was over at Harry's and said, you know what? We should do a parody of Genie magazine and call it Weenie. Yeah. And Harry said, yes, we should. And we owned a typesetting machine.
So you got invited because
that's how
you owned
we got
a machine.
Into that.
You had the
hardware.
Backdrop, yeah.
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 And it was amazing. I mean, and it was freaking great.
It was epic. Peter Pitt said, I will sue you, because he was sure we were going to announce to the world that he was gay.
And nobody knew that,
like,
right?
Every man, woman, and child didn't know that. And so we did it, and it was a big hit, and they ended up selling it at the desk at the Magic Castle.
Really? Wow.
I remember Bill Larson calling saying, can we get some more of those magazines? Oh, the one you were going to sue us over? Sure, Bill, no problem. So that was the beginning of it. And then we used to do shows, Halloween shows at the Comedy and Magic Club.
Yep.
The thespian branch of the Left-Handed League was the Bubonic Players. And the Bubonic Players would do a Halloween show.
Max Maven was in the Bubonic Players
so that was
Halloween
what you were
show.
Thinking. Okay.
Yes, he was.
News
I saw a poster.
Okay. I don't remember him at the Comedy and Magic Club, but yeah, fine.
Is Larry Wilson part of the group at all ever? For some reason, I remember seeing his picture in some
Larry
poster.
Larry Wilson?
Yeah.
Larry Wilson?
Yeah, in Reno.
Larry Wilson?
From Reno, right?
Larry Wilson?
No. Famous magician school?
Yeah. No. I worked on that.
He probably
I worked
wanted
on
to
that,
be.
The special.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I helped I write a little bit that. Of that. I worked on a little of that.
And then we did some shows. The Left-Handed League did shows around in Arizona and around California.
Did you work conventions or anything like that?
Yeah. So Weenie Magazine came out at the PCAM convention in, I think, in Santa Barbara. And we all did the show in Santa Barbara. It was so long ago, I cannot believe it.
I've been wanting to get together with Turk Pipkin since I moved to Austin.
Yeah,
and
right.
My friend Kent Cummins said that he used to juggle with him, and we're still good friends.
Yeah.
But he's a big philanthropic fellow. He's got a lot of things working around the world. The Turk is donating money. Apparently that's what he's known for now, is his philanthropy.
Donating money?
Yeah, working with big organizations.
Turk didn't have any money?
He never donated any to me.
Okay. Maybe that's why
I
haven't talked to him in a while.
Yeah. No, I think that's... I heard that same
really?
Thing, yeah.
Good for Turk. He's always a great guy.
Yeah. But I knew he'd be a good guest.
He was a writer on the World's Greatest Magic special.
He was. The Great Roulette things?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. I didn't know that.
What else you want to know?
That's about all I think I kind of need to talk about today. I just wanted to get a couple.
Way more than we should have said.
We
said more than we should have.
David, you really have been quiet throughout this. You had nothing to contribute. You and Joel have kind of got laryngitis. Is that right?
Poor Dave.
You were last time I talked with you and Mac when we were here. You guys, you were working on a project or something, I think, at the time.
No, you weren't. I don't think.
I don't remember.
I don't know.
If he was working, he wouldn't be in Colin.
I'd say that's the best way to look at it. I was really as busy as I said I wouldn't be.
I love hearing magicians at a magic convention tell each other how busy they are while they're standing at a magic convention.
Let's conclude with that. I think
good way to do it. That's great. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Awesome.
Mac, David,
thanks,
Mike, and Joel. Scotty out. Again, as we have gone around through this convention so far, there have been so many people, great friends to talk with, and people who are performers and lecturers, and this is someone who I could probably spend the next hour with. In fact, I have spent time with him in the past, and it's Danny Archer, and you can go back to look up that episode. It was, again, one of the better ones. We had a great time many years ago, and it's just as topical today as it was back then. So, I've been walking. I'm out of breath. I was running to the car in the rain. It was pouring down a deluge a while ago over there. Oh, my gosh. We almost didn't have this evening's show. But we're here, and I'm here with Danny Archer. Hello, Danny.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
I'm out of breath. But aside from that, glad to have you here. So I saw your show today, and I was turning to somebody, John Stirk beside me, and I was saying, I love this character. You know, Gino Mozzarella is the best, I think.
Thank you.
I don't know anybody else who's got... who keeps the content all the way through, I mean, I should say the character all the way through, and it's something you've developed, and your timing is perfect, and your delivery, the lines, I like the pauses you have, and then when you say, you know, you need a ride back to Philadelphia, you're from Philly, yeah. Give me a ride back, yeah. You know, we're going to make a short stop along the way, you've got to bring a shovel and a rope, and we're going to make a short stop, and it just makes sense. I just loved it.
Well, thank you.
And we talked before about, and you should go back and listen to the podcast, about how he got booked to work on a show overseas with this. Well, I'm just telling all of your story. So, how are you doing, Danny?
I am doing awesome.
How are you enjoying the show?
I'm liking the the convention, for
yep.
sure.
Yep. And you're a dealer then as well? As
yeah, I had a booth. I'm lecturing tomorrow morning at 11. Yep. Mm-hmm. I did the stage show. I did the close-up show. It's been a lot of fun.
They've been working the heck out of you.
Yeah,
like.
Why not?
They're getting their money's worth.
Happy to do it. Happy to do it. This is what I do.
And you have been to Abbott's before. So what's been a good memory of something that you've had from a past convention?
I was at one other Abbott's. It was 18 years ago. And all I remember was it was hot. That and the fact that I shared a room, which means I saw Bob Little in his underwear.
Well, that's a sight that I remember.
That's all I remember of that past Abbott's, but I'm sure it was great.
Yeah. And also, of course, you have been running Smoke and Mirrors Theater, and that's been going great. And we had, at the time, I think, when I was talking with you, you were envisioning that you and your partner, Marty, are putting the thing together. And it has not only come to fruition, but it has run, it's very successful. And because I remember it was kind of like at the end of the train, into the train track or something.
Yes.
Did that continue to develop out that way, or?
No, we started the theater almost August 17th. Will actually be the beginning of our eighth year,
okay.
Of Smoke and Mirrors. And the big news is we're moving.
Well, I didn't know that.
You didn't hear about what happened?
No. What's going on?
Mark D'Souza.
Yes, I knew Mark was going to open a place.
Mark bought a bank.
Yes.
Built in 1902.
Yeah.
I think it's 20,000 square feet that he's going to call the House of Magic. Mm-hmm. He has a magic collection that is incredible.
It is.
And I've seen it, but some is here, some is there, some is over here in the basement. So he wants to bring everything together, have it for the education and advancement of magic. Mm-hmm. And he came to Marty and I and said, would you guys consider moving your theater to my new location? We said yes. It's going to be now a 100-seat theater instead of a 60-seat theater. We'll have a stage as well, so we'll have a little more options in the scope of magic we're able to present. And we're really looking forward to it. So we're going to finish out our year through December and start the new year over in March.
I'm so excited to hear about this because I was a little bit reluctant to ask you because I thought, is Mark going to be opening something that's going to be in competition
with
Danny? And I wonder how this is going to work out. But you're going to actually be there. That's great.
Exactly. Mark and my partner, Marty Martin, have been friends for 60 years.
Yeah.
So they know each other very well.
That's great. No, I'm excited about that. And so you're going to continue the same way that you...
Yeah, we're going to continue. It's the Smoke and Mirrors Magic Theater.
Okay.
The only difference is that at one show will be here, the next show will be there. The venues are going to be only 6 miles apart. Mm-hmm. So I think half my customers will think, wow, it's 6 miles closer. Half will think, wow, it's 6 miles farther.
Further away. That's true.
And a lot of new people will hear about us because we were hidden where we are. We're really hard to see, but we'll be a lot more visible. There's a road and a stoplight right in front of the theater, and right across the way is the train station.
Yeah, because that used to be the bank, I guess.
Yeah,
so it had to be
bank.
Centrally located.
It was right in the center of this little
bank. Sounds like a win-win community. For everybody because that way that
Mark
is going to be having a place to store and put his things
exactly.
to be viewed. I assume that's going to be available to the public to see.
I assume that it's going to be laid out exquisitely.
Yeah.
Mark is going to do this place right, and we are just so looking forward to it.
Yeah. And so, again, it starts after the first of the year. Now, Mindvention, you've been putting it on for a long number of years.
Mm-hmm.
And have you partnered now with Luca Volpe?
Luca and I partnered on the virtual Mindvention.
Okay.
But Mindvention is now, for the first time, occurring since 2019. Traditionally, we've always been in Las Vegas, but this year we're going to be in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
November 17, 18, 19, a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Mindvention.com?
Mindvention.net.
Net, okay.
Mindvention.net for more info. And the change is allowing people that traditionally hadn't been able to come to Vegas for some reason to come because I'm looking at the registration, so I can see there's people I know that are here on the East Coast that are coming to this one that never came to the one in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So, and the plan then is to rotate it back to Vegas the following year and then alternate between the cities.
And this year, since Mark's Place won't be open yet, it's not going to be in that venue, I assume.
Oh, no, we're doing it in northeast Philly, so the far outskirts. It's a little far from downtown, but downtown Philly is not that safe location all the time. But this place is fine. And just a hotel, like any hotel with a ballroom. And, you know, once you're inside the ballroom, it will feel like you're in Las Vegas.
Okay. Well, it's always a lot of fun in my invention, and the kind of talent that you bring in from all around the world is incredible then as well. We always learn a lot of stuff.
Exactly. You know, we have a great lineup this year. We have Eric Samuels, Timon Kraus, Garrett Thomas. A lot of people saying Garrett Thomas. Rick Mao, the...
I never think of Garrett Thomas as a medalist.
You will after you see his lecture at my invention, I think. So
Rick Mao is going to be...
Rick will be there as well. Jason Saran, up-and-coming young medalist. Okay. He's under some people's radar, but he made a big splash at... Magi Fest. It's going to be a really fun time.
Oh, he was the guy. I was at Magi Fest. Ah. Okay, now I know who you're talking about.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So we have Jason. So it's going to be a really fun time. People are already coming. People from a couple of different countries have registered. Mm-hmm. So we'll see what happens. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, you guys always got room for more, so people should go to myinvention.net.
Myinvention.net will tell you all you need to know about MyInvention.
And the dates again are?
November 17, 18, 19, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday.
Okay. And it's a fun convention. One of the things I like about your Stuart Abbott's, it is a small town, so everybody's kind of forced together. Mm-hmm. We talked about this with somebody yesterday. I like the term forced camaraderie. Uh-huh. and it's different, obviously, when we have MyInvention, particularly in Vegas, because you can spread out to wherever. But it's forced camaraderie from the standpoint that it's not a big convention. Mm-hmm. I mean, with keeping 100, 150 people or so, everybody kind of stays together. They don't want to get very far apart from each other.
Yeah.
Because we're all the like mind, if you will, no pun intended.
Yeah, so. It's just a really different vibe.
It is a different vibe.
Than the Magic Convention.
Completely. Totally, and it's not a bizarre thing. It's not like an occult or whatever, or weird weekend or anything. This is really,
it's the art of mentalism.
Thank you.
And there's a lot. There's just so much incredible work right now being done by so many incredible people that have advanced what it's possible to do as a mentalist. That it's just jaw dropping.
Have you seen Doc Hilford in a while?
I haven't, but I talked to Doc.
How's he doing?
A little while ago. It was about 2 months ago.
Okay.
I talked to Doc on the phone, and he was doing okay.
Good.
And I was happy to talk to him. And I love my member. 1 year, a guy comes up to my invention. He says, "Danny, can I tell you something about the convention?" I said, "Yeah." He says, "You have Doc Hilford. You had Doc Hilford last year. You've had Doc Hilford several years."
I said, "There's a reason for that."
I said, "Because Doc Hilford is great."
Yeah.
I said, "I love Doc Hilford."
Yeah.
So, I'm a big fan of Doc's.
Yeah. And Rick Mao is also. I remember Banachek telling me one time, many years ago, he said, "If I ever get a TV show or I've got something where I need to have someone as a consultant, Rick is going to be my go-to guy."
Rick is the go-to guy for a lot of people. Rick doesn't toot his own horn.
He just knocked it out of the park with a lecture at Magic Inc., I understand. I mean, they fill the house.
Exactly. Rick is just one of those guys that everybody's in the know. To me, he's like sitting in the center of the web of mentalism. If there's a strand is twitched somewhere, Rick knows about it or is aware of it.
So creative.
Such an absolutely great guy.
Yeah, and John Stetson, another guy I think is just lovely. Yeah.
John will be at my invention as well.
I'm having lunch with him next week at Magic Live.
Tell him I said hi.
I will.
Tell him I said hi. John's going to be at my invention this year.
Okay.
And it's going to be an awesome time.
Sounds like, again,
are you going to be
fun.
There?
I've been trying to cut back on conventions, so I probably won't, because in November I've got a couple of some things I was not planning on attending, but I've been pulled in that direction. So
No worries.
Be going, but I will. And so right now you're planning on continuing to leave it in Philadelphia, I guess?
No. In Philadelphia this year, Vegas next year.
Are you going to go back and forth?
Yeah, and then back to Philly, back to Vegas. Yeah, so alternating cities.
That makes sense.
That's we're going to try.
That's a great idea.
Well, I want to see how it goes in Philly this year, because the convention hasn't happened yet.
By drawing people regionally, as you said.
Yeah,
exactly. Because they didn't go to Vegas, and likewise, you get a lot of people in California who go over there, and then they wouldn't come here.
Exactly, but there's so many people that live between Boston and Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. The bulk of the U.S. population lives there.
Big corridor.
So there's a lot of people that are, 5 hour or less drive to Philly, we'll see what happens.
You have just been blowing and going, man. I mean, that for someone who is only 55, I can't believe the kind of work that you've been doing and keeping going with all this.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
And I always say it's too late for me to go to medical school.
I'll remember that. I might use that. That's good then, too. Danny, always good to see you. Always good to hear from you that you're doing good things and that you always got a lot of creative ideas. And I still think that you're at the table of Murphy's Magic. If people can look for that. It's one of my favorite. And I still do two or three things from that that is just gold.
Oh, thanks.
It's in there. Thank you. No, that's a recommendation and testimonial that I'll gladly make. Good stuff. One of my favorite lecturers then as well. Got a lot of good creative stuff. But anyhow, enough about you. Let me talk about me a little bit. I'm just going to say thanks to everybody for coming, and thanks to all my guests who have been coming here as well. I'm not finished. I'm still going to have some more people before this podcast gets released. But I thought, again, Danny, I appreciate you would come and chat for a little bit.
Oh, so my pleasure. Thanks for asking.
You bet. So with the Magic Word Podcast, that was Danny Archer. Scotty out.
If I can have your attention, please. Welcome to the first annual Kalana Convention here in the dealer's room. I don't know if you heard, but just about 3 hours ago, there was 5 inches of water on the floor in here. And so a big round of applause, first of all, for everyone who helped with the water cleanup. That was... And now, the rain was... pretty intense, yeah.
For a long time.
It's God's way of saying you magicians smell terrible. All right. So we've got some awards to give out. The numbers were kind of sparse in the competition. For those who weren't there, we had a total this year of only 6 contestants, which was honestly a surprise because going into the show last night, we thought we only had 3 contestants. Then after the end of the show, we got a 4th, and then showed up this morning, there were 6. Things change. Anyway, as a result, there's only going to be 2 prizes given out. There's a first and a second that are going to be awarded this year. I've got the scorecards for everybody else. They can see me afterwards. So, without further ado.
I want some more dew.
You want some more dew? Yeah. We're all wet enough, Scott. Come on. We've got our second place award winner for the 86th annual Abbott's Magic Get Together stage show competition. And the second place. I like that we're all leaving them alone on this. No one's joining in at all. That was a beautiful thing. It was just as awkward as your haircut. All right, so that's is that better than the Garfunkel joke at least?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm working on it. Regardless. The stage show second place award goes to Carl and Bill Ray. You guys are going to have to arm wrestle over who gets the money.
Okay.
But there you are.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations, Bill. Congratulations, Carl. Good job. All right. And if my math is correct, that leaves us with 1 award to give out. And I was a Colon graduate, so it is iffy. What year? Oh. The first place award winner of the stage show competition at the 86th annual Abbott's Magic Get Together. From Louisville, Kentucky, Buddy August. Winning makes you feel young again, doesn't it?
There you are, buddy. Congratulations.
Thank you all. And thank you so very much. And Curly's afterwards.
Drink some, buddy.
Congratulations, buddy.
Thanks,
Scott. $500, huh?
For the other contestants and for the winners, these judges' scorecards are available. If you would like to have them, come up and see me, and I'll give them to you. Once again, thank you for entering the contest. It does take a lot of guts to do that, especially at the hour of the day that we do it. And it's a nerve-wracking experience. Congratulations to all of you just for getting up there and doing it.
So, so the winner right now is Buddy August for first place. So, how do you feel? What are you going to do? You going to go to Disneyland?
Well, I don't feel like I'm 77 years old. I feel like I'm about 30, 29. No, no, no. 17 years old. Because magic makes us young, Scott.
Are you pretty excited?
Oh, man. Am I excited? I'm about ready to pop.
Now, have you got something in mind you want to do with the award money?
Ah, I want to spruce up my lecture circuit that I aspire to.
Ah,
yeah,
okay.
Right, right. My lectures start out with everybody in the audience having a red nose on, and it goes up from there. A lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Well
Thank
done.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you many times, I'm sure, down the road,
yeah,
my friend.
You bet.
Okay. So for the Magic Word Podcast, we're congratulating Buddy August for getting first prize for the competition here at Abbott's 86th get-together. And we are also with the second prize winners, Bill and Carl, or Carl and Bill. Congratulations, Carl.
Thank you so much.
Bill.
Thank you.
So you guys have been rehearsing this for a while.
Oh, yeah. We've been working on this act for several years. So
it's a father-son team. Were you pretty excited?
Oh, very excited, yeah. It's our second time competing. It's been awesome.
Yeah. What were your thoughts, Bill? What do you think?
Did you have fun?
Yes.
Yeah, you're an amazing magician. Isn't that what the card said?
Yes.
Yeah. Best magician on the stage.
That was it. Best magician on the stage. Yeah. Very clever.
Nice. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
So what do you plan to do from here with this?
This has been a goal to compete here and win. And we competed last year and didn't play, so we're happy to take a step forward, and we've been performing regularly in Plymouth, Michigan at a parlor show there, so we hope to keep doing that.
And you also have some cash with us that goes around.
That's right. That's
so what
right.
do you plan on doing with the money?
Actually, we're going to look around Colin and donate it. I haven't decided yet where, but one of the great charities around town here.
How nice is that? You guys are great. Congratulations again.
Appreciate it.
And hope to see you then in the future contests and other conventions as
Thanks,
well.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate
Good luck
it.
With that. Okay,
Thank
you bet.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Carl. One of the people who is a staple of Abbott's is not only Al the Only, but also Jania Taylor, and I've got her with me. Hey, Jania.
Always good to be with you, Scott.
And with you as well. Usually we're having martinis and with those great blue olive stuffed
blue cheese stuffed olives.
Blue cheese stuffed olives. Yes. But tonight...
It is a PBR?
And a Crown and Coke.
All righty.
So, but I'm supposed to wear my bowling shirt tonight, but I forgot to bring it.
Do we have to send you a memo?
I should know better by now. But I'm going to Magic Live from here, so I only got a limited amount of space, and they've got two dress-up parties they're planning also, so I brought some crap to wear there, too. So.
You don't need a bowling shirt there.
Well, you know, that wouldn't have been a bad idea. That way it kind of serves two purposes.
They're a cool shirt, meaning they're a hot shirt.
It's cotton, and it is hot, right. Which is surprising. When you're bowling, wouldn't you want something that's going to keep you cool, you know, but instead of some sort of a stiff cotton type of material. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about the museum, since you've gotten more and more involved with the Marshall Museum. It's the American Museum of Magic. And recently, this week, we had a special thing. It was part of Abbott's, in which you had people try, you know, just kind of a fundraiser. They could ride on Lance's bus. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but go ahead.
It was a fundraiser for the museum. We sold, I came up with this idea, in the spring, just how to have a little fundraiser during the get-together and make it different, because everybody always has a gala show, everybody has a silent auction, and I called up Lance, and I said, Lance, how many people fit on your bus? He says, 10. I said, can I sell your bus, like, for $100 a seat? He's like, yeah, Jane, that'd be a good idea, we're going to be there on Tuesday. So we sold 10 seats on the bus. It sold out in one day.
One day.
Well, we opened it to our members first.
Okay.
So that's one perk of being a member. You're going to get those notices first.
Yeah.
And then we gave the members 2 weeks to make up their mind to get a reservation. And then after that, we opened it up to the general population of magic, and even the public. If they wanted to ride, you didn't need to be a magician to ride it. I don't care who buys a seat.
Right, money's money. Green, right? It's all green.
But it sold out in one day, and then we had 20 reservations. Well, we didn't make the 20. It was my big goal to sell out. But we had self-drive tickets for $50. Yeah. So you still got all the perks. You got to tour the museum with Lance, have photo ops in front of the bus with Lance. We opened up the archive building.
Which now has air conditioning.
Yes, it does now have air conditioning. Thanks to two special donors and a Michigan Art Council grant.
Wow.
And it makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
It would have been sweltering in there on Monday.
I feel sorry for all those people who have been working in there for the past several years and moving things around in and out. Oh, my gosh. I just can't imagine. I
mean, and it's cold in the winter.
Yeah. Yeah. So they got the whole thing. So they got heat as well as AC.
Yeah, and it makes such a difference.
Yeah.
Because we had a big work weekend in June. And it was like the first hot week in June. So, and we really appreciated those mini splits.
What are the kind of cool perks that they get? You give them a poster?
No, we gave out a little a pocket folder, and we had some articles that had been written by Bob Lund, so people could have a sample of Bob's writing.
Right.
We had his obituary. Bob used to do special Sundays.
Yeah.
The Sunday after the get-together. And he would honor somebody. And he had Neil Foster days, and he had Sid Lorraine days. And so we found a bunch of old ribbons from the Neil Foster day in 1987.
There's a whole box of them.
There's a whole box of them in there. We put one of those ribbons.
How nice.
And we put a little, it was like a little information sheet that Bob had printed up where he was charging $4 to get into the museum. So we put that in. So each year we'll have a little marketing thing like that too.
Well, I remember also that you do have posters whenever someone donates a minimum of $100, and each year the poster changes.
Well, we redid the membership levels.
Okay.
And the poster is now part of the $300 level.
Okay.
Because it is a commemorative custom copy, and it's one of those canvas ones that's kind of like stretched.
Right.
And we weren't making any money on when it was part of the $100 level.
Okay.
So now it's part of the $300 level. The $500 level, we have a gazillion LeGrand David posters. Because Bob and Cesario were great friends, and he'd send Bob a stack of posters. So for the $500 level, you get a LeGrand David poster.
Right.
And then the level after that, let's see, $100, $500, and the $1,000 level. And the $1,000 level, you get basically all the things that you do for $300 and $500, as well as you get more research time.
Wow. That sounds like kind of some pretty cool perks that you can get.
Right.
So.
I can't do it much more. I'm sorry.
Well, it sounds like you had a lot of really cool perks for this, and the money, of course, goes towards like air conditioning and heating and things like that, and upkeep, because it's pretty much it's a 501c3,
yes.
Right? So it is tax deductible, whatever that you're going to be donating to.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And our big project, next big project, there's UV film on the main library building.
Yeah.
And that was put up in like 2019. We would like to put UV film on the library building.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's like the next big project. We did write a grant for it this year. But
hopefully that'll come sooner than later, because the UV light really damages the posters that are on the walls.
Right, right. And even in that building, old fluorescent lighting, half of it doesn't work. We'd like to put in LED lights,
right,
and so people can really see what they're looking at, or when they come to do some research. It's an old library building.
That's right.
It still has the old library shelves in it.
What's great about that is, number one, it was built as a library. In other words, it contained those kinds of artifacts.
Right.
Number two, it's just across the street, you know, behind there. So you don't have to walk very far to be part of that museum. You don't have to say, okay, you got to drive your car six blocks over there to see the rest of the artifacts.
Right. And that's where all the good stuff is.
That's true. That's where you've got the discovery of witchcraft and all that.
No, it's my favorite part. It always was, because it was my favorite part of the tour when Bob was alive was in the basement. And that's where all the vertical files are.
Yeah.
That's where all, you know, the extra posters were. And that's where all the Apple boxes were, where he stored the manuscripts of magic books.
Right.
So that's all been moved over across the parking lot. Like you say, you'll just walk out the back door of the main museum building to the library, and that's where all those things are stored now.
Well, you're talking about all those things. So what would be the reason why people should come to Marshall to see the museum if they haven't ever, traveled that far? I mean, they're far enough they come here to Colden. It's not just a short hop over there. But I think people should go out of their way to come to Marshall. And I think so, but you tell them why they think.
I think the thing that is awesome for people, even the public, it's one man's collection.
Yeah.
And it's three floors in the main museum building.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of great stuff, a lot of Blackstone Senior stuff, a lot of Dorney things. And we want to upgrade some of those exhibits, have a Women in Magic exhibit, maybe disabled magician exhibit, things like that. And all the posters, the walls are lined, floor to ceiling.
Yeah.
And they're like 12-foot ceilings or more. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody comments on, are all the posters.
Well, David Copperfield's museum, of course, is a private thing. It's really not on exhibit. Same thing like a Bruce Haber book, and so many different people who are collectors around there can get invited. You can't see this. However, this is open to the public.
Only public magic museum in the country.
Right. That's a very good point. That's why I'm saying people should drive by here to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think another thing would be, of course, the Magician's Graveyard over here in Colden. That's amazing. I think Al said, what do they have now, 47?
I know we're up to like 44, 47, something like that. And some of the younger kids just bought plots this week.
Yeah, well, they just constructed my headstone just 2 months ago. So.
Seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, let's hope we don't have to, use that soon.
I hope it'll be another 100 years before we actually do get to use that.
I don't want to be out there drinking martinis over your grave anytime soon.
I would rather that me go before you, so that way you can toast a martini to me. I would feel so much better knowing that you're there.
I would be.
I'll even
bring some blue cheese olives.
Special for that. Thank you, Jania.
No
Love
problem.
You, man.
Thank you, too, Scott. Love
so,
you, too.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Jania Taylor. Scotty out. Yeah.